So we got a chance to play so much more of Resident Evil Requiem. We were scared, terrified, but we got through it. And we're here to tell you what we think of the game so far.
We did. And it's such an interesting thing with this game because we're really excited for it. But at the same time, every time another opportunity pops up to actually play it, it's like, oh boy.
Nail biter.
I need to come to grips with the fact that I'll be playing this very frightening video game.
It was just a quick little story about when we were at Capcom and playing this game. You know, they of course had these wonderful setups. Everybody had these very high quality headphones, and you had your headphone like barely on. And then later on, we were just like, can you just let us not listen to it in the headphone? Can we just listen to it out of the TV? Because we were so scared. And then our good friend Joe, who works at Capcom, came over and was like, let me turn it up for you. We're like, no.
How about turn it down?
Turn it down. Like, more. He was like, oh, you guys are really scared. We were in a room full of people. And we were like,
yes.
But we're so excited to tell you what we think of the game. We did get to play as both Grace, which is a character that you guys have seen before, but also as Leon. So we got a big chunky chunk of Leon time. And yeah, this is something that we've been super curious about and we want to talk about it.
Yeah, it was a pretty long demo that we got to play. I think we got to play for about 3 hours and we got to see content between the two different characters. I think it was maybe a little bit more on the Grace side overall, but we got two Leon sections as well. So yes. I feel like we got a really good impression of how he's going to play and how he's integrated into the game. Mm-hmm. Particularly relevant for the people watching this video who follow our channel, the Nintendo Switch 2 version was not there.
No.
So we played on the PlayStation 5.
Yes.
You know, we asked about the Switch 2 version and they said, oh, we're focusing on the PS5 today. So fine. I don't know why. I'm not sure it necessarily means anything, but that's just the version that they had for us to play.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm sure when we are able to check out the Switch 2 version, we can do that and tell you guys about it. But yes, we were playing on the PS5. I mean, the game continues to look and just, you know, perform really great. Like the visuals are pretty stunning. Like I was really impressed with, like, the one thing that was like that stood out to me was just like the skin texture on both Leon. Leon is like a bit of an older guy now, you know, he's like not a young duckling anymore. And he, so you can see like the grizzled, like the, his face has like,
oh no, a
5 o'clock shadow. He's got a little like smile line. I don't know if he's smiling, scowl line wrinkle. But I was like, that's like really impressive. Like the skin texture detail is like really, really well done.
So we did play this game at Gamescom over the summer. It was sort of a shorter segment that was exclusively Grace before Leon was revealed. So maybe we can just start by talking, like comparing what we played most recently with our first experience back in Germany.
Well, I feel like the Gamescom demo, we both agreed, was significantly scarier for both of us. And I think the reason why is because when we were playing that demo, you truly just had, like, poor Grace just had no way of defending herself at all. And in this demo, Grace did have a gun and other methods of defending herself. She's obviously plays very, very different to Leon, but you know, you can still shoot something playing as Grace. So you felt a little bit more like, okay, I'm not going to be able to like run and gun these enemies down, but I have a way to defend myself. So it was a little less scarier than the Gamescom demo, I thought. The atmosphere is building is still fantastic. It's still like super creepy. You're still in this very like sketchy hospital that obviously things have gone terribly wrong in, and it's like the enemies are still terrifying. You still get the jump scares and the vibe is still like disgusting and off, but you do feel like, okay, at least I can defend myself and you know, have a way to not die. So that was good.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out like where in the game, the chronology of the game, do these different demos take place, and they wouldn't tell us yesterday, but something I did note is kind of where the demo began is where the GameStop or excuse me, the Gamescom demo sort of ended.
That's right.
So you sort of, you see her escaping with this big enemy that was so scary that was chasing you and what we played there. So it's like, okay, I kind of can piece together where this is all happening. So that makes sense that early on, she might not really have anything to deal with.
Right.
It did make that demo, you know, feel a bit focused on the stealth, on the evasion. And I also really appreciate it now I have a full range of things to help me out. If I want to, I can go stealthy and I can just try and, you know, avoid conflict and run away. But you do have a gun. It's not a very powerful gun as Grace, but at least you feel empowered. It's like, I could shoot this thing in the leg and run away.
Yes.
It's not like all I have is my little like lighter
flashlight.
That's doing basically nothing.
The lighter. Yes. It was not even a flashlight. It was a lighter. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was so terrifying. But yes, I do feel like you have some more options. It's still very much, when you're playing as Grace, it's still very much on like the stealthy evasion, kind of sneaking around enemies, being a little bit smart to avoid, you know, getting mobbed. So the gameplay between the two characters are still very different, even though, you know, Grace has some ways of defending herself. Obviously, you and I were both very excited about the Leon reveal, and I was excited to finally get a chance to play as Leon. Resident Evil 4 is my favorite Resident Evil, because I like Leon. I like the, you know, I don't feel as scared with Leon because Leon's very capable and it becomes more action. This one, yes, Leon is our Leon. I would say that he plays very similar to what you expect of Leon. He's like extremely capable. He has a lot more health than Grace does. He has, you know, a lot more weapons, a lot more options for melee attacks. You know, he's wielding an axe this time, which is very, very fun. There's also a part that we play in the beginning of the game where an enemy's running at you with a chainsaw, which was terrifying and horrible. But you could pick up that chainsaw as Leon and just like go for it. And that was really fun. And so I did really like the differences between the gameplay of both characters, but I also really liked that Leon felt very Leon in this game, which made me happy.
Yeah, the start of that demo of that area was a bit ridiculous because, you know, Leon enters into this hospital and then all of a sudden these guys with chainsaws just start coming at him. It's like, wait, I'm in a hospital. Why are these people have so many chainsaws? What's happening? Yeah. But it is like over the top action. It does feel a lot like Resident Evil 4 gameplay. And you're right. Like there are a lot of subtle differences. Like even the HUD, I think, is different when you're playing between the two characters.
Yes.
Leon has a lot of weapons at his disposal that Grace does not. We got a shotgun. We got grenades that we were just throwing around willy-nilly. Yep. Different types of guns. And we were getting upgrades for those guns, a lot like happens in Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
And it was interesting that in that Resident Evil showcase that happened a while ago, they were saying, yeah, we tried to make kind of a more traditionally scary game with Leon, but it just didn't feel right for him to be more of a timid personality.
He's not scared.
they have fixed that. He's out there blasting away.
He's blasting away. He's got the one-liners, you know, he's got the funny, like almost like the 90s, 2000s action movie quips. This is what we want, though. This is our Leon. Like, he feels so much like what his character is supposed to feel like. So I'm really glad that they didn't sacrifice that for this game and make him feel like different or timid or too serious. Like you need to have that kind of personality for him. And it's actually great because it really contrasts a lot against Grace's personality. And she's terrified and very injured, as you keep saying. Like, she's just hobbling around. Like if you press, you know, the button for her to run, she's barely running, you know.
She's covered in bandages.
She's covered in bandages. She's got the BB gun. She's you know, scared and timid. So having the two like very opposing kind of characteristics, like I think it works really well. So once you're kind of like, okay, I had enough of grenade throwing, like you can get back to more of that like stealthy, like creepy kind of atmosphere. And then once you get too scared, you're like, okay, Leon's gonna come in and do something, you know? So that's
this,
good
this
to
is
me.
Just a guess, but I imagine in the total run of the game, you'll probably will be playing as Grace a little bit more than Leon would be my guess, just because, you know, those action segments, you can make an impact in sort of a shorter burst, where with the gray stuff, like it makes sense to let that tension build a bit more slowly over time. So that's just a guess that I had based on what we saw, but I came away feeling really good about both of the two characters.
The devs did say that it's about 50-50 actually.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know how accurate that is, but you know, they did say that it was
okay.
pretty even. So, but yeah, I mean, what we played yesterday, definitely more heavily on Grace than on Leon. Our Leon sections were a bit shorter than we played with Grace. So comparing it to other Resident Evil games that we played, how do we feel about like this particular setting, the sort of the setup? Does it feel like in line with the atmosphere of other Resident Evil games?
Yeah, so we haven't played all the Resident Evil games, but we have played a good chunk of them, and we definitely played the biggest ones. I mean, to me, it just felt like a combination of Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 7, especially the earlier parts of Resident Evil 7, where, you know, those characters are either, you know, very, very powerful or very much on the run and constantly threatened in these ridiculously frightening situations. Something that did stand out to me as interesting, and I wonder how that'll play out for the full game, is everything we've seen so far has been completely indoors. Mm-hmm. And I know that they've shown some outdoor segments in some of their trailers, but this building that you're in seems to be incredibly large, with many different floors and many different areas and a lot of stuff that you're going to be traversing back to as you get different sorts of access. But that was something that was interesting of, you know, comparing to Resident Evil 4, where you do sometimes get outside and you're in some bigger areas. And this was all pretty close quarters. Yeah. So it was a little bit different in terms of navigating your space between you and the enemies when there's just like four walls and, you know, tables and stuff surrounding you all the time. That was something that felt a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting that it all takes place sort of in this creepy hospital, which is by far like one of the scarier locations. I just don't like creepy hospitals in general. I don't think anyone does. I mean, who's like, yes, give me a creepy
hospital. I love creepy hospitals.
I can't wait to go to a creepy hospital, like hospital where you're doing experiments on people, like very nefarious experiments. But it is all indoors. I will say that the setting though is very detailed. Like it's not like a traditional hospital. It's in this like big kind of gothic looking mansion. And it has a lot of those kinds of details. Like the hospital has like hospital like looking wings and examination rooms, but they also have these very like gothic parlors and this like very dramatic entryway. So it is a very interesting location, even though we've only seen sort of the inside of that location so far in all of the demos that we've played. You know, I think back to Resident Evil 4 when you like go to the lake, that was like a really big moment, a big special thing that you're doing. I do wonder if they're kind of keeping those kinds of things under wraps and if that's coming up later in the game.
But again, that comparison to 4 and 7, you know, those are two of the biggest games in the series. So I am saying that as a compliment, and that I think that they're really honing in on the two aspects of the series that have resonated the most. You know, how much of those balance out over the course of a full game, we'll have to see. But from what we've seen, you know, we like it so far.
We like it a lot. Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah.
So what are some things that surprised you that we maybe didn't get a chance to play before or were just completely new to us?
Yeah, so there's a lot of options in the game, which is pretty cool. Like you can do first and third person for both Leon and Grace. So we tried those out. That was pretty interesting. I don't like to play in first person because it freaks me out. So I do like the third person, but I like to have the option. I mean, you definitely played a little bit more in first person, and I was like, try not to get too scared. But
well, I thought it was interesting that a first person option for Leon was even available.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that game kind of established that over the shoulder third person shooting setup. So was a question in my mind going into it. It was like, is this even going to be available? But it was. And I thought that the first person setup is very immersive. Like there's so a lot of like wavering to the hand, to the gun. You know, you look down, you can see the feet. It's like, it's a lot more built out than even a lot of first person shooters where it's just like, a gun that never moves and you're just moving around and you're strafing around. It's like they've really put a lot of thought into this and making it feel like you are that person, which I thought was interesting. I imagine in the end, I'll probably play more third person than first person, but I do like that the option is there.
Yeah.
Something we found deep in the menus was that there is motion aiming.
Pretty
available.
Good, actually.
And that made a big difference because, you know, you have limited bullets. You need to make them count. Sometimes you want to be precise. You know, you want to shoot them in the head, shoot them in the leg, whatever it is. And sometimes that can be a bit trickier to really dial in with just the sticks. So you can turn that on and, you know, very much like a Splatoon style aiming, mm-hmm. you know, you're still using the sticks for the majority of the aiming, but it's that last like 10% that you're getting extremely precisely. So that was a little bit buried in the settings, but I was pretty happy when we found mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Whenever there's a game that involves me shooting anything, I have terrible aim. I'm always very grateful for motion aiming as an option. So, and we were to turn that on and use that throughout our demo. And I really liked the way it felt. It felt really good. And yeah, you're right. You're so limited in the bullets. You have like six bullets. You better like get all six headshots or else there's no chance, you know? So that was really nice. I really liked the transitions between Grace and Leon. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, you wonder what the relationship between these characters are going to feel like and look like and how the gameplay is going to transition you from being that one person and then like kind of doing this like whiplash to the other person that, you know, again, we're talking about plays so differently, has such a different personality. But I really liked the way that they did it. You know, the where we left off with the Gamescom demo is poor Grace was just running away from the big scary monster and there was no way for her to do anything. She had no weapon. She had no way of defending herself. And how Leon comes in is like he basically helps to save her from that monster. And then she gets trapped and he like hands her a weapon. And then, then she can continue on trying to get out of the hospital. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like he sweeps in to do the little, like, I'm going to save the day a little bit and establish what I'm here to do and who I am. And then like she gets to meet him and then the story kind of continues on. But I thought that transition was very clever and I really like that. And I really want to learn more about like ongoing what they're kind of interaction and relationship is going to be like.
Yeah, it felt like a lot more, you know, an interweaving story versus like there's a distinct end to this chapter. Now we're going to cut. It was like, no, there was some sort of connectivity between them that made it a reasonable point for us to change perspectives in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You seem quite taken with the puzzles.
I really like the puzzles so far. Like the puzzles, I mean, Resident Evil.
You love putting things into a socket.
I do like unlocking a secret, you know, cabinet and finding a thing that I can put into a slot. Resident Evil puzzles are quite good in general, I think, like, especially in 4. I think those puzzles are really fun. But these are good. Like, it was kind of like an escape room kind of feeling, and we were playing together. And so we were kind of, like, helping, like, each other, like, oh, look at the back of this photograph to get the code. But it kind of felt like, you know, like a little bit of like an escape room, which I really, really enjoyed. They weren't too hard where we felt frustrated or anything like that. You always knew kind of your next step. And sometimes that next step is extremely scary and difficult. But you kind of knew like what you needed to do next. And everything kind of builds, all the layers build really well on top of each other. And, you know, you have to, you know, kind of traverse back to areas you couldn't get to before after you get certain things to unlock doors. And I really liked it. I thought it was really slick the way the puzzles were put together.
Yeah. I liked the way that the level was laid out where it wasn't just, hey, go in a straight line and get to the thing. It was a lot of, all right, now I have the ability to open this door. Let's go see what that is. Oh, there's a bit of a branching path. Let me go down those and hopefully I pick the right one to not be some monster closet. That helped, I think, I just on paper, like the map is very big, but I think that the way that they do it helps it feel even bigger and grander as well, because you're properly visiting and revisiting with good reason all of these areas.
Yeah, totally. I also like the pretty like in-depth upgrade system and the crafting system that they had in this game that I was like pretty surprised by, and we were able to experience that. Like, there are definitely things you can do to help you become better and stronger and not as weak and sad and scared. You can buy these upgrades. We bought a health upgrade. We bought an upgrade to get more inventory slots, which we desperately needed.
This is our hot tip. When this game comes out,
yes,
and you get the game, buy the inventory upgrade first.
Yes. Please. You're going to need that inventory upgrade because then you can go back really fast and get the health upgrade.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I like that progression. I like that you can find things that can help you get a little bit stronger. They also have a pretty cool crafting system for like making bullets, making different like weapons, making things to help you take down enemies, like these little like it basically looks like an EpiPen, and you inject it into an enemy and it just explodes them, which was interesting. So there's cool things that you can craft, and you can find recipes to upgrade your, you know, crafting. And I was pretty in-depth system. I was like, okay, this is like, it's like, you know, you want to do this. You want to collect these things. You want to go to the buckets of blood and collect the blood to make things. So I was surprised by that. Pleasantly.
Yeah, that's always like a point of anxiety in these games is, am I going to run out of bullets? And am I just going to be completely hosed if that happens? And, you know, if that can happen if you're careless and you're just shooting and you're missing a lot, that can happen. But with this crafting system, I did feel like they had balanced it really well to where I always had something in my inventory. Even if I ran out, I could make a couple more just to get me out of a tough situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that was a tricky balancing game for them of like, how do we give the player enough, but not too much that they're overpowered. So that good for them. Cause it felt just about right. And there, yeah, like as we were playing, that library of things that we could craft just get bigger and bigger.
Yes, yes. You can find things to get more recipes as well. So seems like a good system to continue to build on as you get deeper into the game and may need more things to help you with harder enemies. I really liked it. So something that you're excited about and something that you potentially might be a little worried about.
Yes. I'm excited about the potential for story in this game.
Yeah.
And I should say, as somebody, again, who's not played every Resident Evil game, I do have some questions of like, am I equipped to properly understand the story? So for example, like I've played 4 and 5, I didn't play 6, played 7, didn't play 8. So I do have some gaps in my knowledge. You know, there's this character, Dr. Gideon, who seems, right now, he seems to be the big bad guy. I understand that he's got some connections to previous Resident Evil stuff. The way that they were laying it out did seem really interesting. I like the stuff that we haven't necessarily seen in these playable demos, but in the trailers of like the bigger Raccoon City situation, it's all grimy, it's dirty. It kind of looks like, you know, they've really built that up as a oppressive place to be. So I'm ready to properly experience the story for this. I'm hopeful that it can be good. I'm just wondering how much like wiki-ing I'm going to need to do along the way of like, wait, he mentioned this. Who is that? What virus now? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you need to do a little lore catch up.
Yes.
But the story it's set up is very interesting. Like, I'm very taken in by the mystery that is surrounding these characters. Like, I really want to know. Like, yeah, we talk about Grace being kind of weak and useless, but she's an FBI agent. So she really isn't. She should know how she's in a profession where, you know, she should know how to do some stuff. So I really want to understand like what that setup is. And there's definitely already some mysteries in the hospital that we've come across, and we're very interested to see like how those mysteries play out. So yeah, I think, you know, a very, it definitely piqued my interest, and I'm very like motivated to even through my fear, see what happens with this story. So
something, I'll give you two things. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily worried about, but like I do have in the back of my mind as questions. The inventory management is definitely one, because there were a lot of times. So we did not take our own advice. We did not get the inventory management upgrade first. And there were a lot of times where we had those antique coins just jingling around in our pocket, and you use those to get the upgrades, but we came across something that was more pressing for us to get, and you just have to ditch those things, and I think they're just gone.
They're gone forever.
So it's like, we knew that this was a demo. We knew that we were not keeping the save data, so we could be a little bit like, you know, free and loose with it. But if you're playing in your main game, it's like, wait, why do I have to give up this precious resource that maybe is finite because I've got this, you know, pretty tight inventory limitation?
Yeah.
I hope that is taken into account in the full game balance as well. And who knows, maybe those coins will be so plentiful that it doesn't matter. But even beyond those coins, there were just some times where it's like, I just have to throw this away and I can't come back and get it. It's just gone.
It's, and like, that didn't Sophie's feel great. Choice. Like, it felt so like, we were just in those inventory screens, like this one or that one. Oh, right. They're both bad options, you know, to
and
get
it didn't,
rid of.
And it didn't seem to me, you know, at least on the gray section where that seemed to be more pressing, it was not like the RE4 inventory where you can kind of Tetris it in and make it fit. It was just like one thing per slot. So it
one
was pretty
square.
Cut and dry of what you needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Checkpoints is another thing that we were thinking about. We were saving so much because it was hard. It was really hard. And I mean, they have the classic RE checkpoints where it's like you go into a room, it's like almost like a safe room. They have the little typewriter for you to save on, and like the little like place for you to store some stuff or things like that. They have rooms like that. We did find another like typewriter just kind of sitting out in one area, but they're not a lot of them. There were not a lot of these safe rooms and not a lot of checkpoints, and if you die, you literally have to start.
You go back to the save. So like there is no like checkpoint versus a save point. It's like the saves are the only things there are. So there were some points where there was like a hard encounter, and it was like, it would be kind of nice. Like people who play a lot of modern games might just expect like, okay, the game will put me right before then, and I can do it again. It's like, no, you're gonna have to do a little bit of backtracking to get back to that. So we'll see how tedious or annoying that ends up being in the end.
Yeah. For me, like one of the things I'm a little bit worried, and we were playing this on normal difficulty. They told us very specifically, like, we put you guys on normal difficulty. It's going to be hard. Your resources are extremely limited, and it's going to be challenging. And it was, especially those gray sections. Like, there were some encounters where like, it was pretty brutal. Like there was one encounter that I remember that we both were doing that was like, we had to try, like, I want to say at least 5 times to get through it. And it was tough. Like, these enemies are complete bullet sponges. You have like 8 bullets to.
Well, I've learned that your aim is maybe not at an A+ level.
No, I know. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that it's difficult if you are not like a sharp shooter. And it's really hard. Like, you try to, you know, you really have to, you're so limited on your resources, and it's very easy for you to get overwhelmed. I am a little bit worried about the difficulty levels. I mean, maybe just play on easy is the solution here.
Yeah, there will be an easy mode, so that's good. Yeah, we did overhear some conversations as the demo was wrapping up of some people saying, like, gosh, those gray sections were really hard. You know, there were some challenging battles that popped up, but I think for those, like, we realized we just needed to be a little bit smarter and how we approach those. And it's like, hey, this actually isn't Leon. This is like a woman who's been extremely battered and is very vulnerable now. So we needed to take a bit of a different approach with it. So I didn't come
away
feeling super worried about the difficulty, because we kind of got through everything that they had, and there were only those couple points that I think were meant to be challenging. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just like a point of learning of like, these characters are different. You better approach things differently.
Yeah, no, it's good that they're different, like we were saying. But yeah, those pretty punishing sections. And yes, we got through them, but they were not easy. It was not like a walk in the park by any means. And I believe we're pretty early in the game too. So I expect this to just continue to get, we haven't even done like a proper sort of boss fight yet or anything like that. We've taken down some big enemies, but not a really a proper. So yeah, who knows how that's going to spike. But yes, I need to get better at aiming, because It's really hard to aim when you're so scared.
Oh, no. That's hands are shaking.
Hands are definitely shaking.
Yes. So last question here. So again, we did get a chance to see this game once more on the PlayStation 5. And I think before then, with this Switch 2 version being available, we were both veering towards saying, oh, we'll play this on the Switch 2. But I think we have to revisit it now since we've had more time on the PlayStation 5. So where are you leaning as of today?
Well, I haven't seen it on a Switch 2 yet. It's at true. All. So I really don't know, you know, how I'm going to feel about it. It looks pretty darn good though on that PS5. Like the game looks really nice. Like the detail, like again, like we were talking about, like just like all the details, all the lighting effects, all of the details in the skin and then all the characters, the details of like the hospital, like this very intricate, you know, gothic details. I mean, it looks incredible on a PS5, but I'm not ruling out the Switch version. I have a PS5, so I get to choose, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, the only thing that the Switch version will give me is like portability, right? To be able to play in handheld mode. I have a Portal too. So it's like, do I just play on PS5? It's kind of the same, you know? Yeah. So I'm not ruling it out, but I'm not like saying that, oh yeah, I'm definitely playing on Switch 2 because I don't need to. And it looks good.
Good point that we have not seen ourselves the Switch 2 version. So that does make it hard for us to be definitive. I think I am still leaning towards that version. You know, from the footage that we've seen, it does look really good. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that style of game can be well suited to being transferred to a less powerful system. So that's where I'm leaning as of today, but I would like to have a chance to see it and play it a little bit. Hopefully we'll have that before it comes out and we can tell you all how that is. But yeah, that's kind of where we're leaning as of today.
Are you thinking if you play on a Switch 2 that you'll play mostly in TV mode though still, or you just want it?
Probably, but I like having the option, and you know, that's the Switch 2 is just kind of like my lead platform for everything these days. So again, unless there's some huge technical trade-off on some of these third-party games, I'm just leaning towards Switch 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Switch 2 is definitely my choice for anything that I feel like I'm going to play the majority of it in handheld. But I am finding it pretty uncomfortable to play it in handheld for long play sessions lately. And I think I actually hurt my wrist really bad playing Metroid. So I might need to give myself a little break from playing a lot of things on handheld. Like I just finished another game on PS5 and I played with just TV mode, you know, on the TV with the regular controller. And I was like, oh yeah, this is a lot lighter and more ergonomic. No. I'm getting old. The ligaments are weakened.
You should have listened to the Wii when it told you to take a break.
No. So I don't know. Now that's like a factor for me too, because like if I was going to play on a Switch 2, I'd probably play in handheld mode because I never play with my Switch 2 in TV mode.
With the lights off, under the covers.
No. That sounds terrible. Although smaller screen might be less scary.
That's right.
Anyways, so I have all these other factors like playing into my decision as well. Okay. But it's so cool that it's on a Switch 2. I think for anyone that's, you know, not console owners, like what a great thing that you get to play this amazing game on a Switch 2. It's going to be awesome. So that's how, you know, what we thought of Resident Evil Requiem so far. We had a great time. I think we both are super hyped on this game and I can't wait to play more.
Getting awesome. Close. Very close.
Yeah. Coming out soon. All right. Hope you guys enjoy this video and we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.